reading this morning comes from the 25th chapter of Matthew. I hope this is a scripture that you are becoming more and more familiar with. Let us listen for God's word for us this morning. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All of the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are the accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and imprisoned, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, and the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Tables can be made out of anything. I've seen this magic trick happen many times in my own life where a table would appear out of nowhere from the stuff that was just lying around. I once saw college students push two twin beds together, cover it in newsprint and duct tape so that they could play a game that became a favorite involving ping pong balls and solo cups. On a mission trip, I saw two sawhorses and several pieces of scrap wood become a table large enough for our entire group to eat lunch at. When two girls in my youth group needed a card table, they took an old window they found and they perched it on their legs. I'm sure each and every one of you have at some point seen a table appear out of nowhere. I think we can all agree that tables indeed can be made out of anything. It does kind of make you wonder then, what is a table, really? Is it just a flat surface with at least one leg, which is what Google tells me a table is? And how much does what's on a table define what the table is? When do two sawhorses and some scrap pieces of wood stop being two sawhorses and scrap pieces of wood and become a table? Is it the food that is on them or the people that surrounds them that really make a table a table? Is it form or is it function or is it just perception? Now, you might be wondering why I am talking so much about tables when our scripture doesn't appear to mention one. And all I have to say to that is, are we sure it doesn't? But we'll come back to that. Whether we like it or not, tables are one of the primary images of our Christian faith. In most sanctuaries, including this one, a table is always front and center, adorned with paraments or candles. On top of it, we may find elements, a cup, and a plate. Reminders always of why the table is front and center. On Sundays like this one, we gather around and celebrate and remember as Jesus bid his disciples to eat and remember, gathered around a table in that upper room. And on this particular Sunday, World Communion Sunday, we get to think about just how big this table is, celebrating with Christians around the world as we partake in a meal offered by the host who connects us all. So it would seem pertinent that we at least take a little bit of time to consider what makes a table, or more importantly, what makes a table a communion table. As my youth always loved to remind me whenever I asked them any question, the answer is always Jesus. We call this Lord's table. But it isn't the Lord's table just because we say it is. It's not the Lord's table because on top of it we will find a cup and a plate, and in that cup we'll find juice, and on that plate we will find bread. It's not the Lord's table because strewn across it is some liturgically colored paraments. It's not the Lord's table because behind it there will be ordained ministers of word and sacrament reciting the story and breaking the bread. It is the Lord's table because the Lord is present to us when we gather there. And the Lord is the host, inviting all to come and gather, share in the life that Christ provides. The table itself is the embodiment of the invitation, the manifestation of God's desire to be in relationship with us, bound in grace and in love. Where Christ is, so too is the invitation, and therefore so is the table. Let's go back to Matthew 25. The righteous seem confused with their righteousness, asking Christ, when was it that they saw him in all the ways he described? Hungry and thirsty, naked and a stranger, sick and imprisoned. He responds, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. The accursed are likewise confused by their accursedness, asking Christ when it was that they saw him in all the ways he described, hungry and thirsty, naked and a stranger, sick and imprisoned. He responds to them in the same way. Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Both groups are surprised when Christ reveals his presence with the least of these, which to anyone who followed Jesus as he ministered to the outcasts and challenged the cultural hierarchy in everything he did, this would seem perfectly on brand. Do we see the table yet? Christ connects those who seek him with those who are in need by his very presence. Those in need hold the very space by which the righteous and wicked have the opportunity to commune with Christ, to partake in Christ's life-giving presence. It is the intersection of need and servanthood that set the dimensions of the Lord's table. And so it is the people who become extensions of it. Earlier this week, Emily shared an article with me from the Christian Century titled, "Who is Welcomed at the Communion Table?" In the article, Peter Marty questions the gatekeeping language that we sometimes use in church in our invitations to the table. He describes this attitude as a belief-centric approach, which he argues falls short of the grace God has offered. Citing the work of biblical scholar James Sanders, Marty says this, that while Jews embrace the ethos or way of life from the Torah, Christians embrace the mythos, the story. As Christianity developed, it often emphasized following a set of beliefs over practicing them as a way of life. What Christ describes in Matthew 25 is a way of life, a way of coming to the Lord's table. If the only tables that we ever approach are the ones behind the doors of our sanctuaries and front and center in our worship, then perhaps all we are doing is partaking in the idea of Christ. Tomorrow, a group of church members will begin the work of exploring what it means for New Providence to be a Matthew 25 church. For those of you who don't know, Matthew 25 is an initiative in the Presbyterian USA denomination to live into this scripture in a meaningful way. It is a way of identifying issues within our communities, in our churches, in our presbyteries that deal with and explore practical solutions to poverty and systemic racism and congregational vitality. It will be the goal of this group to come up with recommendations on how this congregation can identify and engage with the people and the spaces where Christ says he is present. This work is a reminder that at all times we can find ourselves both as the one in need whom Christ abides with and the one called to serve whom Christ summons to help. Tables can indeed be made out of anything. A new retiree trying to figure out what to do with their day now that they aren't going to work and feel like they're losing who they are. A parent trying to figure out how best to keep their children safe when everyone has an opinion and all opinions seem bad. A teenager who goes from laughing crying because the stress of school, the expectations of friends and family feel inescapable. A spouse grieving the loss of their partner. A worker who knows that the next paycheck won't cover the bills that are already in the mailbox. Christ invites us all to them. Christ invites us all here. Christ makes us capable of holding that sacred space, of being the place where others can experience the presence of Christ and receive the life that comes from a relationship that only Christ can provide. So when we come to this table, when we feel the presence of the host of hosts, inviting us in our brokenness and our unworthiness and our doubt, may we be quiet enough to hear the very whisper of the Spirit as it says to each and every one of us, "You won't believe what I can make a table out of." May it be so.